Good morning and a warm welcome to everyone. If you're here for the first time, especially a warm welcome. Tea and coffee served in the Mayor Hall after the morning service. Also, there's a service at 11:30 and this evening at 6:30, the reflective service. Pastoral news, we're asked to remember Jean Qureshi, whose husband has died recently. Also, congratulations to Jacob Bally, who's been accepted for training into the ministry, and this will start in September. And last night, the Cayley was really successful. I think everyone had a good time, and if you weren't there, you missed a treat. And in a couple of weeks' time, on the 9th of May, there's a Christian Aid quiz, and so tickets will be on sale for that shortly. And I think that's all. Thank you.
As a shepherd gathers the flock, so the love of God has gathered and called us here today. Let us celebrate the fullness of life that Jesus has won for us. Let us worship God. We sing, all people that on earth do dwell.
Thank you.
Join together to pray. Let us pray. Christ the Good Shepherd, you call us into your fold. You call each of us. And some of us have a security and think, obviously, you would call us. And others of us are aware of our sin, our failure. So we confess the wrong that we've done. And we confess also that we have been part of excluding other people from your fold. We have not welcomed in those who are on the fringes. We have been uncomfortable with those whose lifestyles are different from ours. And we have not seen the person. Christ the Good Shepherd, we give you thanks and praise that you are our Saviour in times of darkness. You will travel with us. And even when we are divided among ourselves, you remind us of our oneness in you. So we offer our thanks and praise. We thank you for your calling of each of us. And we thank you for the challenge to be your voice, to welcome all people home. Lord, we pray. Amen. We say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And do not bring us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Kingdom, power, and glory, and forever. So, a bit early in the year, but it's Panto. It's Panto. Oh, yes, it is. Thank you very much. Don't get ahead of yourself, mate. Right. So. My, what big eyes you have, Grandmama. Let's try that again. My, what big ears you have, Grandmama. Excellent. And then we go, my, what big teeth you have, Grandmama. Because in that encounter, it is the wolf, the big bad wolf. And then we have little pig. A little pig, let me come in. Not by the hair on my chinny chin chin, I will not let you in. Then I'll, and I'll, and I'll. Now, can I just tell you, British people, there's a whole gang of people here this morning who are thinking that they've arrived on a very, very, very strange planet. So I want to say to you, Korean and Taiwanese and Chinese people, these are very familiar children's stories that we are reciting, which has within them the baddie, and the baddie is the wolf. And then the scripture story we're going to have today, the baddie is the wolf. And wouldn't it be great, wouldn't it be tremendous if in your life you could spot the baddie that easily? And wouldn't it be tremendous if in your life you could spot the wrong things that easily? You could just, aha, hairy chin, long tail, big teeth, baddie. Regardless of whether they've got a hat on and looking like a granny or not, baddie. But actually, if we're going to spot what is wrong, we're going to spot what isn't helpful, what isn't right, then we need to be very, very close to the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd. And for us, his name is... That was just rubbish. And for us, his name is...
Jesus.
Excellent. So let's join to sing. Rather obvious and predictable choice, but I think it's a top one nonetheless. The Lord's my shepherd. And we're going to do the Stuart Townend version. From Luke Acts, remember? Luke Acts, this is Acts. This passage follows the story of the healing of a disabled man, and Peter's preaching of God's restoration, which is promised through Jesus and the other prophets. And Vaughan James will read this passage to us.
The next day, the Jewish leaders, the elders, and the teachers of the law gathered in Jerusalem. They met with the high priest Annas and with Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and the others who belonged to the high priest's family. They made the apostles stand before them and asked them, "How did you do this? What power do you have? Or whose name did you use?" Peter, full of the Holy Spirit, answered them, "Leaders of the people and elders, if we are being questioned today about the good deed done to the lame man and how he was healed, then you should all know, and all the people of Israel should know, that the man that stands here before you completely well through the power of the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified and whom God raised from the dead. Jesus is the one of whom the scriptures say, 'The stone that you, the builders, despised turned out to be the most important of all.' Salvation is to be found through him alone. In all the world, there's no one else whom God has given who can save us.
And the second passage from the Gospel according to John. Jesus as the shepherd, that's the beginning of this chapter, and weaves together several metaphors. The gatekeeper, the sheep recognize his voice, and then he becomes the gate for the sheep. The sheep will go in and out through him. But the thief comes to steal and to destroy. And we who are very familiar with this passage might not appreciate just how strange it is to others, because it's so full of repetition and a variety of metaphors and changes of direction that make it a long and extended meditation. And Ray Erskine's going to read this, because she's done nothing for the life of this church in the last 24 hours. She's been just, I'm lying. Ray Erskine is going to read this to us.
From John chapter 10, reading from verse 11. "I am the good shepherd who is willing to die for the sheep. When a hired man who is not a shepherd and does not own the sheep sees a wolf coming, he leaves the sheep and runs away. So the wolf snatches the sheep and scatters them. The hired man runs away because he's only a hired man and doesn't care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd. As the Father knows me and I know the Father, in the same way I know my sheep and they know me, and I am willing to die for them. There are other sheep which belong to me that are not in this sheepfold. I must bring them too. They will listen to my voice, and they will become one flock with one shepherd. The Father loves me because I am willing to give up my life in order that I may receive it back again. No one takes my life away from me. I give it up of my own free will. I have the right to give it up, and I have the right to take it back. This is what my Father has commanded me to do." Amen.
Amen. Peter, in the passage from Acts, speaks up for what he believes to be true. He looks the religious leaders in the eye and speaks his word of truth. He speaks to the chief priests, and everybody who was anybody was there. He speaks of the healing of a disabled man that has happened. So here is Peter in the high priest's house. And do you remember the last time when he was in the courtyard of the high priest's house, how he was then? Last time he cowered in the corner. He denied that he knew who Jesus was. He was probably in less physical danger then than he is now. But here, he is bold. He is a witness because of his presence there. Not only because of what he says. And the question is, how has this transformation taken place? The thing about Peter and Jesus is something that take for granted, but it's worth saying, is they are brave. To live your life to the full, to take the risks of it, is to be brave. Brave is what you need to be. So how did Peter, the man who denied Jesus, stand up and face the same people in the eye that had hidden the truth from earlier? How did Jesus have the energy to do what he did, the courage to face known death? The answer to both those things is the journey into holiness. The journey into holiness. When Jesus talks about being the good shepherd and shepherds in general, who, from our point of view in 2015, in terms of getting any use out of the metaphor, who is he talking about? Yeah, of course, we think about him, but that's not all he's thinking about. He's thinking about good shepherds, plural. Who's he talking about? Who does it mean? Who are they? So, obviously, I've been thinking about this passage this week, and where I got to in my thinking is that, in a sense, we all are shepherds. We all are shepherds. At the very least, we have, at the very least, for example, we have the responsibility of shepherding somebody else's reputation. At the very least of it. But many of you could think of many other examples of ways in which you are called to be shepherds. But the minute one says in a church, the minute you say shepherd, the good shepherd, straight away people are thinking of that which is lovely and warm and fuzzy and familiar. The passage, the 23rd Psalm, that is about comfort and being held and being accompanied. It's a scripture that is like a pair of slippers. A story of intimacy, a story of belonging, a story of love. But in the Gospel according to John, in this passage, it is about danger, it is about failure, it is about half-heartedness. The passage makes it very clear that following Jesus comes at a cost, and being Jesus was costly too. So the question is this: when your life is coming towards the end, when you will lay down your life in death, will you look back at how you have laid down your minutes and your hours, and will you think, okay, wasn't perfect, but it was my best shot? Or will you be concerned that you actually frittered your life away? And it's not about more activity. It's not what we're talking about here. It's not how busy you are, how busy you were. It's about the depth of your life. And just before you think to yourself, oh, that's for other people, that's not for me, she's not talking to me at this point, she's talking to others, let me share this with you. Peter Drucker is one of those management guru people. And he's a man who's written 30 books. And his basic concepts of self-management are these. One, to have self-knowledge regarding your own values, your strengths, your work habits. Two, to find out where you belong in an organization and which organization is right for you. Three, to decide on what you will contribute to your work and to the world. Four, to take responsibility for relationships. And here it comes, number five, to have a plan for the latter part of your life. And the thing about Peter Drucker is, he wrote 30 books, and he wrote most of them beyond the age of 65. Lived to be in his 90s, was still working into his 90s. So I'm not, when I invite us all to examine our lives, I am not speaking to those that are young and those that are middle-aged. I'm talking to every single one of us. I was recently talking to a member of this church who has moved into residential care. And we were talking, I have a witness, we were talking about how she was getting on there, and she said she didn't like it. Happens all the time. But then she went on and she said that she was surprised for the fact that she was the only Christian there. Only Christian. And she wondered whether she was in that residential home to be a person that prayed, to be a person that spoke of Jesus. So she was thinking of her time in a residential home, in a nursing home, as a mission opportunity. It's not about activity. It's about the loss of comfort, though. If you are a follower of Jesus, then the lazy, small-minded ideas which were your way of thinking and behaving have to stop. His example demands more of us. Are we being intentional about allowing ourselves to encounter the Holy Spirit in the way that we lay down our life day by day? The passage says you are free to lay down your life, and Jesus gives his life. It's not taken from him, he gives it. He lays it down. And his life is given down in terms of ministry, but also in terms of the cross. It's not snatched from him, it's not forced, he chooses it, but it comes at a cost. And those who do what they do for money will run away. But the true shepherd is the one who will stay the course. Their motivation is for something else beyond cash. And this whole story in John 10 comes from the narrative that starts in John 9, which is about the man who is blind and then is healed. John's gospel has these great, big, huge, long narratives in it, and this is one of them. The man that is born blind is healed, and then he is thrown out by the religious authorities. He is out. But for Jesus, Jesus hunts him out. After he's been thrown out, Jesus hunts him down because he is in. Who is out and who is in one of the things that churches get very exercised on. Groups get very exercised on. Are you one of us? Are you one of them? Are you out? Are you in? And the teaching in this passage in John makes it clear that Jesus has sheep that we know nothing of. And we need to be remembering that there are people in relationship with Jesus that we don't know anything about. So when we are thinking that somebody is out, we need to remember this. Just because we don't know doesn't mean it's not true. There are other sheep. We need to be cautious. So at the moment, when the election campaign is rumbling, you might have noticed. Did you notice we're in the middle of an election? Did you notice that there's nothing happening in the rest of the world? That Syria is obviously peaceful in the Middle East. Life in the Congo, man, that must be great at the minute, because we're hearing nothing about it. But a lot of the whole debate around the election is about who is in and who is out. And the bit of news that did get through was this hideous story about those poor people trying to get in to Europe and losing their fight for life in the way that they did. And even the most strident of us, with one hideous exception, even the most strident of us, anti-immigration voice would be shaking their head at horror at such a terrible tale. What does it mean to be a follower of Jesus when it comes to casting your vote? I'm sure Ken will be giving you some advice on this next Sunday. I will chuck in my two penny worth at this point, and it is this. I think when you're a follower of Jesus, you need to get away from lazy thinking that I have always done it this way. Poor. I think it's not about me. I think it's not about what suits me well. I don't think it's about what suits my pocket the best. I think it is about the vulnerable. I think it is about us. I think it is beyond my expediency. And I think that Jesus is interested in how we vote. And as I've already said, the call to follow Jesus is a call that is beyond that which is expedient and that which is comfortable. He is the man who gives his life and gives his life on the cross. So let us pray. Lord, we don't know what it's like to be a sheep, but we do know what it's like to need a shepherd, to feel that someone cares, that someone will listen to us, that there's someone we can trust, someone who understands us. And we do know what it is to be stubborn, like sheep, to be afraid and not to be brave. We know what it is to wander aimlessly, in all our hopes, in all our longings. Be our good shepherd, Lord Jesus. Lord, we pray. Amen. We join to sing "How Sweet the Name of Jesus Sounds." Join together to pray. Let us pray. Jesus, Good Shepherd, we bring to you those at the mercy of the wolves of violence and abuse, those scattered by prejudice and persecution, those harried by the pressures of life and their responsibility to others, those who feel abandoned by their families and friends. Those robbed of the fullness of life by illness, by poverty, by fear. Those who feel excluded from the sheepfold of church, the sheepfold of society. Those who are on the fringes of our communities. Jesus, Good Shepherd, we bring these people in our prayers. We pray for the other sheep that we do know about. Our brothers and sisters in Christ and the other churches in the middle of Kingston, for Everyday Church, for All Saints with St. John's, for John Bunyan Baptist Church, for the Methodist Church on the Fairfield, for the Quakers, for St. Raphael's Roman Catholic Church, for King's Church, for Kingsgate Church, for the Korean Church that meets in Grove Crescent, for all those churches that are meeting in people's homes today. Jesus, Good Shepherd, unite us, inspire us, and use us to draw others to your love. We pray in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. So we continue our worship as we make our offering.
Let us pray. God of all goodness and grace, receive the gift of our offers and grant that our whole life may give you glory and praise through Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us sing our final hymn. Lead us, Heavenly Father, lead us. Lead us, Heavenly Father, lead us. Hymn number 543.